Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I go inside episode 130, Knowing Yourself When Setting Goals in Business. How's David doing today?
Fantastic. How's BT doing today?
I'm doing great. So we had a chance to go through this very impactful lesson on goal setting and how it relates to people starting out in business. So in the episode, you mentioned there were two internal problems that keep us dissatisfied in not only our business, but also in our lives in general. You mentioned they were worthiness and then the skill set around understanding the way that the universe works. Can you just talk briefly more about this piece?
Well, you know, this came from sitting down with several people who wanted to hit a very specific number in their business, and they didn't want to look at so much at the strategy behind what they were building in a kind of an overarching way for the entire business, but what was going to get them to that number. And I was trying to get them to see that, well, we could probably change things to get to that number really quick, but is that actually going to be the way that you want the business structured to go from that standpoint and beyond? And they were having trouble understanding that what if I change the strategy in order to get them to, say, 2 million, right? When they get to 2 million, they may not be positioned to go anywhere past 2 million. They may have to restructure at that point because the design was just to get them to that number really quick. Now they have a bigger problem on their hands. So then it opened up this discussion about what's really behind this number, because I didn't see any forward thinking in where's the overall business going? What does the structure of that look like? How are we making sure that we're continually building it out in a way that productively gets to, you know, the end result? And then the question was like, but don't you think that it's important, you know, to hit these numbers if that's what it is that we really want? And my response to that was, well, it depends on why it is that you want it. And you can't tell me why you want it other than this is something that you want. Like, there was no reasoning behind it whatsoever. So it's coming from that people are going to all of these self-improvement seminars and books and podcasts, and, you know, you're getting all of this information, and it's talk about, they talk about setting big audacious goals and, you know, not stopping until you hit your goal, and, you know, make the goal, you know, something that you really want, you know, in life. And they're not actually talking about what is the overall strategy for what it is that you're doing. So the premise comes from helping a person kind of rebuild their self-esteem when they're middle age. Like, how do you actually go about doing that? Because you've had, say, 35 years of ideas that are very limiting to your self-esteem or actually contributing to you having low self-esteem. And if we're going to rebuild a person's self-esteem, that's going to be the way that they internally look at themselves. It's going to be their understanding of how the universe works. It's going to help them to develop the skill sets that are necessary for them to accomplish whatever it is that they're going to accomplish. And that can be both personal, that can be for their family, that could be like if they're a mom or a dad, that can be financial, it could be for their business. I mean, all of these things require skill sets that we have to learn, and then we have to kind of keep them polished up. But in that frame where it has become literally really easy for a person, if they actually have a decent product or service and they can learn a couple of skill sets quick, they can earn a lot of money real fast, but that can be addictive. The problem is they end up continually chasing the money and they're not actually building a business, right?
Right.
So, and on one hand, it's really cool that we have the ability to do that today And that's primarily because of technology. We can reach so many people. But it is very short-sighted on where am I going long-term. And people really need to start thinking about where they're going long-term, because what I'm seeing more and more of is these companies that get to $1 million, $2 million, and they're stuck. They can't break out of it. And the reason that they can't break out of it is because that was the original goal, to get to $1 million, $2 million. And you know, I'm thinking like, well, we could have a lot worse problems than that. True, but it's probably not why you got into the business. And if you don't get the education and the understanding of how to build it past that, it's just rinse and repeat every year, and it never actually makes any progress.
Right, which is why you ask the listeners, what is the long-term vision for your business? How big do I actually want this to be? This is a question or a series of questions that requires some intense thought for sure. What would you say to someone just starting out now, how to strategically build whatever they're building for the long haul, not just for the instant gratification?
I would start off by sitting down and asking them what they want. It seems so very important for them really to think about what they want. And here's the problem that I understand. Yeah, you're going to have the person that really knows that they want to build a massive company, or they want to build a massive business, or they seriously want to have a global impact. Not just saying that because it sounds like a cool thing to say, but they want to, and they have the ability. But for most people, what most people really want is to get out of the misery of the way their life is right now. And they see this promise that's kind of dangled in front of them like bait of, hey, I can get you up over $1 million really quick. And like I said, I'm guilty of doing this myself. But from the perspective of, let's build something long-term for your life. Unfortunately, you can't change. I mean, like, another person doesn't have the ability to change where a person's coming from as far as their motivation for really building something. But it is very enticing if you know that you have the ability to rapidly change, say, a $60,000 a year income, and in 10 months be making $600,000 a year. That's an enormous change for a person. It's an enormous change in lifestyle for that person. But it's also very addictive, because it's kind of like playing the lottery. Even though they have more control over that win, they're not really thinking long term, and it can get to a place where they get burned out, because in order to do that, they got to put in a tremendous amount of work. But a lot of people are willing to put in that work. But the problem is, they get to a place and they're stuck with the burden of, look what I've created. It's kind of a monster that keeps eating itself. How do I break out of this? And the thing is, it's kind of like, well, you kind of got to tear down and rebuild, because you built this thing just to make fast income, rinse and repeat, but you got to get off the treadmill so that you can do something that is more sustainable and scalable.
Yeah, for sure. It's bringing to mind an episode you did recently, episode 98, What Happens When You Don't Hit a Goal. So, you know, you mentioned earlier about the million. That seems to be like the watermark, or it's always been the watermark in your rooms. I want to make $1 million. Even though they have no structure in place, they know 7 people that they're marketing to, but they want to hit that million. So let's say they do set that audacious goal and they miss it. That can be detrimental moving forward. Forward, right? No, I mean, it hardwires their brain.
Yeah, it absolutely can. And one of the things that I try to point out is, the fastest way to get to the end goal, let's say it is the million, is to really understand where you are. So you are really looking at yourself from a 100% honesty, radical honesty. Where am I in my personal growth? Where am I in my self-discipline? Where am I in keeping my word with myself? Where am I in the skill sets that are required for me to actually get there? And answering those questions and being really honest, and then starting from that place. Because if a person starts from that place of radical honesty, now we know what to work on. And if we know what to work on, then we can slowly begin to build this person up to the place where they can see further down the road, as long as they don't get stuck on that immediate high of making a lot of money really quick. So, you know, it's about starting where they are. It'll allow them to work on what they need to work on, get to where they want to go quickly. But what should also be developing at the same time is the expansion of the vision for where it is that they want to go. Now, I'll tell you this, T. When I first started, I did not have that. And nobody was talking to me about it either. It was basically going from seminar to seminar without any real long-term vision or knowledge of how do you take this thing and scale it? How do you expand it? So that came from my own delving into trying to figure out how do you actually do that, because I had a longer-term vision, but there wasn't anybody around me that was actually talking about it. Everything generally you see that's being marketed to is like an immediate change in results. How do we get more people in the front end of the business? How do you get more customers? How do you get more people in your pipeline? How do you make more sales? How do you increase your marketing? How do you increase your response on social media? It's all about immediate problems that people are having instead of saying, hey, you need to take a look at where you want to go long term in order to determine what you're going to fix in the short term or how you're going to change it, so that you can actually get to that long-term vision. But I think that one of the reasons why all of the short-term stuff sells so much is because people kind of build businesses in fight or flight mode. And it's like, oh, I need to double down this month because we don't have enough money. And then they manage to get enough money for the month and they take their foot off the pedal. And then they keep ending up in this revolving cycle of there's enough, there's not enough, there's enough, there's not enough. Here's a problem. Let's fix that problem. Oh, and so they're putting out fires constantly in their business. And that, you know, even if you're building a long-term business, it has challenges and fires and stuff that need to be put out. But it's probably not the same ones. You know, it's different because you're consistently growing. It's not this short-term thought process, you know, and kind of like one screw fits, you know, every fix. It's not like that.
Right. Yeah. My big two takeaways from what you just mentioned was there is a certain amount of building the plane while you're flying it. You can't predict every little step along the way. So there is some good that comes from that. And also it reminds me of the importance of being honest with yourself and knowing where you are at in the moment. I think a lot of people sometimes try to inflate that they're doing much better than they are. And it reminds me of the map analogy you use in a lot of your events, where you talk about taking a person out to the middle of the desert and telling them to, you know, find California. Well, you don't know where you're at because you have no map. Now, if you told them where they were and you pointed them in a direction, they'd be able to find it because they have some sort of a framework, some sort of a structure. If you don't have that structure, you're just wandering around aimlessly and nothing good can come from that. I think those are the two big takeaways for me personally from what you just said.
Yeah.
So let's talk about starting a business right now. So you talked about putting any profits back into what is going to move the business forward. So what I'm interested to hear from you about, and I'm sure our listeners are as well, is what did that look like for you in those early years? And conversely, how does it look today? Talking about profits back in to expand and grow and scale.
Well, it was interesting in the beginning because I think that in the early years of the business, mine was more of a lifestyle business. I was building for a direction, but I was also trying to increase the lifestyle that my family was exposed to because my kids were young. So I wanted them to have a different worldview. So I was putting a lot into giving them different experiences, making sure that they were getting a good education, making sure that I had time to spend with them to do things. And that part was a real conscious choice as far as that went. Now that they're all grown and have left home, it's very different view. Now it's like kind of balls to the wall with the big vision and making that happen and putting more money back into the business in order to make it grow to do the things that I wanted to accomplish.
Yeah, so it changes over time. It's not always static.
Yeah. And it does for a lot of people. Like sometimes they start off and they're doing it, you know, like I started and I was in the middle of raising my family. I had my two youngest kids were is still in single digits. Like, I think they were, let me think here for a second. They were four and five, I think, when I started. Yeah, they were like 4 and 5 years old. And my two oldest ones were around 10. So, I had a long time to go of raising children at that point. And I wanted to make sure that I was doing that the best way that I could. And also with the idea that I was building the plane while I was flying it. I was learning right. at the same time. So it changed dramatically over the years. And then once they started to become self-sufficient, then I started to, that's when we actually got an office because you remember the days when we ran it from home, right?
All remote.
You worked at your home. I worked at my, we met at events, or once in a while we would have a meeting at somebody's house, but we were doing it I had my home office. That's right. what I ran.
And that wasn't that long ago. I mean, 5, 6 years,
exactly.
Maybe. Yeah. So it's interesting to see the evolution of how things have changed. The big vision has always been there, but as you get further on in your career, that vision begins to get more and more close with the things you're doing and the decisions you're making. I know for me, our daughters were 8 and 6 when we first got on this journey with you, and to see how they've grown living in this, sort of bubble that we're growing up in, it's pretty powerful and impactful. But now that they're older, getting ready to go to college later on in high school years, it totally changes things. We're able to put more into this or focus into that as opposed to what it was back then, just making sure your kids are okay. So it's really cool to see how things change.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I knew that, and the plan was, like, for a few years prior to the last ones going through their high school years, was that once they got there, I wanted an office so that we can bring everybody together as a team and actually really begin to grow. So as soon as the last one was finishing high school, that's when we made the move and we opened up the office.
That's great. All right, let's talk a little bit about making money here, because one issue you mentioned that when a person does start to achieve a certain level of success, issues begin to pop up where they want to maybe cover them up by buying the car, the house, taking the trips. You refer to this as the lottery effect and said it could be good on some levels, but maybe not so much on others. Definitely not so much when changing that internal image of oneself. So in short, wealth won't heal the pain within. And we see it play out over and over and over again with people all over the world. Can you share more about your study of this way of thinking around, like, the lottery effect and how they're not actually healing the pain from in?
Yeah. So, I think this has a lot to do with the idea that in the era that we live in right now, because of technology, the ability to earn a lot of money real quick exists if we have some skill and we have a product or service that we can sell and that's wanted out there. It doesn't take much for a person to be able to get that off the ground and start doing it. You know, back in the day when all business was basically brick and mortar, the amount of time that it took to find those businesses, to research them, to market to them, to sell to them, the process was just tremendous. And, like, it's funny to think about how the hell did we ever do business back then. But today we have the internet, which allows us to reach a lot of people in a short period of time, and that allows people to earn money much quicker. Plus, then you have coaches like me who are very well known for helping people achieve multi-million-dollar gross incomes and be able to do it in a short period of time because we have the strategies. We know every moving part that needs to be in place to do it, the skill sets, what they need to learn. We can teach them all of that. And they're able to do, again, they're able to do it in a short period of time. So that is kind of like the downside to that is the person actually doing the internal maturing work that goes along with making a lot of money in a short period of time? Because here's what we do know. Like, lottery winners, I think the statistics are 80% are broke in 5 years. And a lot of times lotteries destroy lives. And the reason that it happens is because they are not emotionally intelligent enough to be able to deal with that amount of money in their life. And they're not emotionally intelligent enough to handle all of the hangers-on, so to speak, in their family that believe that they're now entitled to this money. So it really screws families up in a lot of cases really, really bad. In a bit, it's not as bad with the entrepreneurs, but a lot of the teaching that I end up having to do with people is how do you handle all of the family members and friends that are going to now be saying things, doing things, feel entitled, making fun of you, trying to tear you down as you're growing because they're going to see it in rapid succession. How is this taking place? So the person has to be doing that work of that internal mature work of really understanding who they are and how to actually deal with people and this amount of money at the same time. If they're too hyper-focused and just living off the high of, you know, making that money, you know, getting high on your own supply type thing, then it's a big problem because they just keep chasing that money and they keep chasing the next fancy thing that they're actually going to buy for themselves. And they're not really thinking about the long term of the business. They're just thinking about what can I do to sell? What can I do to sell? What can I do to sell? And they're not growing. So the whole idea is that when a person's doing this, they really need to be aware of I need to be maturing as a person as I earn this money so that I'm handling it correctly and I'm putting what needs to go back into the business and I'm putting what needs to go into my life and I'm hitting goals on both fronts and I'm making as mature decisions as I possibly can. And then you know, continually growing from that standpoint.
Yeah, you grow into it.
You do.
You grow into the money.
Do.
It's fascinating. Just doing a quick Google search on lottery winners and bankruptcies. According to multiple studies, about 70% of all lottery winners end up going broke and filing for bankruptcy. 1% of lottery winners go bankrupt every single year, and only 55% of them felt they were happier after winning the lottery, which is really low to me. Because you'd think, you know, you'd sit around and dream about, oh, if I won the lottery and I won $5 million, all my problems would go away. That money does not buy happiness.
No.
Actually, and it even goes on to say that it really, without proper management, ends up destroying your life instead.
Yeah, it does. Because, like, what do you do then? Like, because a lot of people, they win that money, they quit work, the whole family quits work. And now what are you going to do,
right?
There's no purpose.
Idle time,
right? So they just, it's everything then becomes about how do we spend more of it? And, you know, I don't care how much you win, you can spend it really fast.
Right.
You know, you start spending money on big ticket items, you'll go through that money really fast. It blows people's minds how fast they actually go through the money. I remember when I was working with Bob Proctor, he was doing a seminar one time, and he said that the first million he made was in the 60s. And at the end of the year, he didn't have any money. But he couldn't tell you what he spent it on. He was like, it wasn't like I flew off to Paris for lunch or something, but he spent every penny of it. And he was astounded as to how fast it would go without proper management.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always fascinated by this conversation. We definitely should revisit this because it's so, from a mindset perspective, it's so interesting to me to see how that coming into money, even in business, affects people, and it sort of can be very detrimental if they don't handle it the proper way.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, finally, let's do this. You talked about holding oneself to a higher standard. That's a big part of your teaching. And the beauty of this is you don't have to have much of anything to hold yourself to a higher standard. So what can a person out there who's listening today, who's very new to business, do to embody that holding myself to a higher standard way of thinking?
It's starting where they are, and it is becoming, so here's the philosophy. You become too big for the place that you're in. But that means you do everything that you grow everywhere you need to grow, and you do everything that you need to do in the place that you're in. And when you outgrow it, then you move to the next place. That is exactly how it works. Most people want to go to the next place, but they didn't do anything to grow where they are. So it's promotion from becoming too big for the place that you're actually in, meaning that you've grown, you've matured, you've increased your skill sets, you've increased your vision, you've increased your capability to do more, and now you grow out of where you are. So it's up-leveling everything where you currently are without leaving where you are, and then once you do that and you've mastered that, you move on to the next place.
There you go. That's a walk-off right there. There's not much else that can be said about that. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Thanks so much for coming inside, David.
Yeah. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.